Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen in. Previously on The Rundown with Drew Hartman.
We're not getting paid to do this. Like, no one's paying me to run, you know? So, like, I'm doing it for another reason. And if I can't find that immediately, I need to sit down and assess it. And that why or what I'm enjoying about running may change every month, every year, every training block. But if I'm able to kind of come back to that when I'm faced with the reality that I'm not getting paid to do this activity, often I'm paying to do this activity, that there's something that must be magnetic about it that keeps pulling me back for another time.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had a fun chat with ultra trail runner Joshua Ferentz. I was fortunate to meet Josh a few years back at Ultra Trail Harricana, and his energy was contagious. He's got a love and passion for the sport that's hard to beat. He's taken on many challenging races and always gives it his all, most recently tackling the Trans Rockies and finishing third after taking the title back in 2021. He takes that same work ethic and applies it to all aspects of his life, whether it be his marriage, his kids, or his students in the classroom too. This episode of The Rundown is brought to you by Exact Nutrition. I was looking for a tasty, vegan-friendly alternative to traditional gels, and Exact Energy Bars passed the test. Now available in Canada and the US, you'll definitely want to try them on your next long run. And they're offering you 15% off your order when you use the promo code LERUNDOWN. So go to exactnutrition.com and fuel your goals today. In this week's news, Montreal is gearing up for another marathon weekend. The Beneva Montreal Marathon is set to take place September 25th, the same day as the Berlin Marathon that I'll be running. So if you've been running in or around Montreal, now could be a good time to put your fitness to the test. Distances will range from 42.2 all the way to 1K, so you can choose. One thing's for sure, the run community always shows up in numbers to cheer on its participants, so you won't want to miss this one. Make sure to check the show notes for links to this event, special offerings, as well as the ongoing protests. There will also be a list of funds and foundations that need your support, so please consider donating to help support this movement. That's all for now. Gotta run. Part of what I love about racing and going to races is that you get to meet some pretty amazing athletes, if you so choose. Anyways, my next guest I actually met a few years back, pre-pandemic, at the Harricana event here in Quebec. It's a big trail event in the province and one of the biggest ones in Canada. And we got a chance to sit down for actually another podcast. So he's a trail runner himself. He's a school teacher as well. He comes out of Vermont. And we had a great conversation that day, and I hope to get to see what he's up to over the last little while. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show Joshua Ferentz.
Cool. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been great, though. It's been great.
Yeah, I know, for sure. Yeah, and I'm happy to, like, reconnect here. We never actually had you on this podcast. So, yeah, you know, what have you been up to the last few years?
Oh, well, like, right after we talked, we went into, like, full shutdown mode. But right after that, I did a really neat summit out in Portland, Oregon with Under Armour. And it was like someone threw napalm on my running fire. It just, like, totally reinvigorated everything that I was wanting to do, and got some little tips here and there at this summit with, like, some amazing athletes. And came home from that all psyched up. I'm going to run, I'm going to race. And then the world shut down. But I've been able to keep that mindset really going, and took advantage of a lot of really cool opportunities. Like, since then, I've raced quite a bit, been able to travel a lot. Got married in the meantime. We lost a puppy. She was 16 and we gained a puppy who's now 7 months. So we a whole bunch of stuff been happening. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah, I saw you got married. Congrats on that. That's huge, you know?
Yeah, I finally said yes. It was, I had to settle down eventually.
There you go. Yeah. And you move around so much, so it's probably a decent thing, you know?
Yeah, actually, a guy recently was like, this dude just vibrates, man. He's just vibrating the whole time. I could be much. I'm an acquired taste, I think.
For sure. How do you keep busy? How do you stay motivated when things were locked down?
Well, it was weird because I got kind of excited about that run summit I went to I was with like real professional athletes. Like that's their job, primary job. And I got like, it's almost like being a little kid, and I got excited and fired up. I remember the first time I fell in love with basketball. It was like that same feeling again, but in my late 30s, it was really, really nostalgic, likely fun. But then it like kind of got out of control. I ran like 25 weeks at 160K every week or more. So like 100 miles a week for 25 weeks in a row. I just went wild. And had so much fun. It was probably in the best shape of my life. And then the motivation was just how happy I was. Like, I just wanted to keep being happy. And not that like running big volumes of miles made me happy, but I think it was just more about being outside. I run with my girls, the dogs. So like I was outside with them, and it was just a moment that I got to be by myself. And just staying happy the whole time was really important. And then I was able to come home, and I felt that I was a better partner to my now wife. I was a better father to my daughters. I just felt better about how I was in life. And so that motivation of, I always felt good when I ran, but like this was a different type. Like I think I had better perspectives just being older. So I was able to, I just felt better. Like I felt like I was a better version of myself. And like, I know it sounded corny, but like the whole COVID, they were talking about like, be your best self, be the best version of yourself. And I found that without buying into that slogan, I just kind of did that. So I was able to just, the motivation was just to just be happy. The downside
was
is,
there,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, was there an athlete that touched you in particular, like that motivated you, or was it like just the sum of like just being around some of those athletes that was the inspiring factor?
Well, ironically, we were sitting at a table, and I was with like 7 international athletes that all run for Under Armour domestically in the States. And we wrote down a piece of paper, our goal for the Olympics at the time, which we didn't know the Olympics was going to get delayed a year. And the instructor was like, why don't you write anything down? I was like, well, I'm 37 years old. I'm just trying to figure out, do I want salt or butter on my popcorn? Like, I'm not going to the Olympics. But like to see these, like what I didn't realize they were kids, like they were 22 to 24 years old. You know, I was driving before they were born, but I'm connected with this group of people. And like, it was just so inspiring because it was really neat because most runners are just good humans. Like, so they had that reciprocity to ask about my running, and they found it so weird. They're like, wait. So you actually stop at a tent in the middle of the woods, and there's food and like gummy bears you can eat? And I was like, yeah, that's what an ultra race is, man. Like, it's a buffet out there. So it was almost like, you know, it was just a neat opportunity. And like, I kept in contact with these people. And Under Armour just held, like, throughout the whole pandemic, we had like weekly meetups with different runners. And it wasn't really the Under Armour athletes. They were fun. It was inspiring to like, cause they would see my training, and it was almost like a humble brag. They're like, dude, this guy's rocking. But it was also like my favorite runners are my friends. And so like my friends were out there training, and we got together as much as we could. And it was just like, you know, the run community is just tremendous. Like I see what you guys do up there. You guys have like run nights, and like, you get a lot of people out there for run, like the run community. It's pretty phenomenal. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it wasn't really one person. It was just like the whole, I think it was just the community of running in general. It was such a terrible time to be like negative, like or a great time to be negative. So I'm known for being the ultimate optimist, like delusional. Well, the last time we talked, I had some delusional things I said. I'll probably say a couple today too, but I was just being happy and just surrounding myself with everything. Like, COVID was terrible for a lot of people, but it's where my wife and I refound a lot of happiness, and we just found a really great time together. And I know that sounds really selfish, but we made the best of it and turned out pretty phenomenal for us.
Yeah, I mean, I like to ask that question, you know, like where did the opportunities lie, you know, because on the flip side, yes, you know, we were, you know, locked down, we couldn't go to work or what, you know, there's all kinds of different situations. But like, at the same time, you have more time than you've ever had to do something maybe that you really want to do, whether it's take up, maybe it's art, maybe it's, physical activity, maybe it's running, maybe it's, you know, building on your relationship, whatever it might be. But I think I kind of follow the same line as you, where I viewed it also as an opportunity to run more without any race calendar and kind of catch up on my training and sleep and, you know, all these things. So as hard as it was, there was still some like silver linings to that, I think. So yeah. And I think it's interesting what you said too. Like, it doesn't sound like they were all trail runners either. I thought this might've been a trail running union, but how you can relate to runners that aren't running ultras is kind of unique as well, I think.
It was, yeah. I was with a group from the 800 meters to the 10K. So there were like a lot of track kids. And they're hysterical. The difference was I did the speed stuff. I'm coming from a speed background. Speed's relative. So I came from a faster mindset. And so I could relate to them. Like, okay, yeah, I've run some of those. Like some of those 800 meter guys that bumped up to the 1500, like I ran their 1500 meter times. And then I showed them, it's like, then I opened this door to some like wild Harry Potter fantasy world that they had no idea was out there. I was like, what? So that was the difference. They never trained like what I was doing. I did their training. They never did my training. So it was kind of fun just to chit chat. And there's a lot of us there too. Like it was pretty phenomenal. I mean, I met a couple Olympic gold medalists. That was really exciting. Like I'm just a run nerd. Like I just love everything about running. I watch it all. I have my people I cheer for and people who I'm rooting against. So
what do you think the difference is between like what you're doing and what an Olympian does?
I think like back to happiness. I think there's just like, as you know, when we had that extra time, it's in the trail running world. It's like, I don't have to do a workout today. Like, I'll do it tomorrow. I don't even have to do a workout. I can just run further. I'll run fast today, run fast tomorrow. Like, our specific training timeline is almost infinite. And where an Olympian, they just had these strict schedules that sometimes when we were talking, it reflected back to, like, a lot of stress. Because they got to hit these splits. They got to hit these workouts. They got to hit these days. Because their season is done. Like trail running and trail racing, there's always an opportunity. And I know you can say that for track, but like, you know, the Olympics is every 4 years. So they got to be peak form. We don't have a running Olympics. I guess you could call UTMB like the Olympics of ultra running. It's like the premier event, but it's every year. So the difference was I just noticed there was a little bit more of a strenuous stress where I was a little more carefree. I take my stuff seriously. Like I'm very serious about my racing, but it's almost like I could take like a deeper breath of being able to relax for my training than they could.
Yeah, it's maybe a bit longer build because it's like the goal is in a much further timeline. So whereas us, we like kind of see where our fitness is at and build from year to year, you know, depending on how that changes. Like if we want to do, or maybe like 2 years down the road, maybe you want to do 100 mile and you're doing 50, you know, 50 Ks or something. And so you have that timeline, but yeah, I agree. It's like your career is not depending on it either. You know what I mean? It's more, especially at our age, I'm kind of the same age as you. It's like we go out and we do these things, but like that window is kind of closing in terms of like, I don't want to say you can't win it at our age, but you know, maybe it's a little bit tougher, I'd say, you know?
Yeah, I think in the perspective,
I don't know how you feel about that. Yeah.
I don't know what the content here is, but like, for language, so I apologize in advance, but it's like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to show up. I'm going to look at some life experiences and if I do well, great. I already know going in I'm going to do well because I put the training in. But I don't have any impact on anybody else's training. If someone comes there who's just more talented in the way of their fitness and their training, what am I going to do? I can't do anything about that. And some of these longer races, it's almost, I kind of let go of some expectations right after COVID. So like I let go of some expectations and been running free. Like I just feel like I'm running free and trying hard and, you know, trying to win races and stuff like that. But if I don't, it doesn't affect me like it used to because like mm-hmm. it's out of my hands. Like if it's in my hands and I make a mistake, then I can be frustrated, but I haven't had that opportunity yet. And I really don't want to have that opportunity because I think I'm giving it attention where I understand it. But like I did that Quebec Mega Trail, I went out and ran my race. It was my first 50 miler and I did everything that I wanted to do. I didn't let the field dictate how I was going to race at all. And I finished. I didn't get the place I wanted, but I got one of the places I was okay with. I wanted to be top five and I finished fifth. I was pretty stoked that I had a great day of running. And looking back, if I did a couple things different, I run that race 100 times, maybe I can finish third doing a couple things different, but I mean, it's not worth losing sleep over that.
Right.
Because, yeah.
And how do you like when you do like sign up for a race, like Mega Trail, like you said, like fifth place finish, like are you setting multiple goals for the day or like do you go in with one specific goal in mind? Like I know I like to set usually three of them, you know, like your A goal, B, and C goal. And then, you know, it's always going to be a good day because like my third one is always half a good time. So I can't really lose that one.
I got to steal that one. My A goal, I looked at the record. So this is where my mind is. I looked at the record and saw what it was and I was like, okay, I got to be realistic with myself. It's my first one. I can't go up there being arrogant and ignorant to the course itself. Those trails north of the St. Lawrence River are not a joke. They are tough. so I think I saw the record and I was like, I would like to be within 40 minutes of the record was my A goal and win. That would be the A goal. Second goal would be, okay, an hour within the record in top three. And my C goal was finish in the top five and have a good day. Like I want to finish in the top five running well. I didn't plan to like run poor. So I didn't have anything like, well, walk it in. Like, nope, I wasn't going to tolerate that. So I put myself in a position to hopefully have a good day. And I did. I had fun. I had a great day. Like it was a long day. It was stressful getting there and like the whole stress leading up to it. But that had nothing to do with the race. It was just like logistically, I just needed to be settled I needed 10 minutes to be settled in the hotel, but we ended up having 2 days in the hotel. So it worked out pretty well.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's awesome. What would you say like is, for ultra trail running, especially, what would you say is like the usually the determining factor whether you have a good day or a bad day? Is it like how well rested you are, your strategy? Like, because normally I'd say, you know, people are running these things at your level, like they're doing the miles. So that's not really the X factor, you know? That's anyways my interpretation of this or talking to ultra runners, but what's your thought on that?
I actually pull in a little bit of that marathon mindset training that I used to do. It's like, I want to finish the race running how I started the race. So, and in a marathon, I was like, okay, my first mile, last mile need to be within 10 seconds. That means I had a good day. If they're within 10 seconds of each other average, I'm going to have a great day. I wanted to start, clearly when you start a race, you feel fine. Although Quebec Mega Trail started like 4 o'clock in the morning. So I was just sleepy tired. But once I started running, I felt pretty good. And I finished running. I was tired and I wasn't that sore. So mostly like, I just want to start and finish running. And that would probably lead to being a great day. If you can end some of these longer things running. Cause I was out there for 10 hours. I mean, I lost so much time on that Mestashibo Trail or whatever it's called. Holy smoke.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's pretty nasty out here, I gotta say. Like,
I wasn't ready.
Even like, Huracan is like,
yeah. I climbed 1,000 feet in a staircase up some waterfall. Like, it was, and I'm friends with a lot of the people now up there, and they just kept saying that word to me, like, beware of Meshtashibo. I didn't know what it was, so I had to like Google it. I thought it was I didn't know what the word meant. And like, I had a back and forth with Sarah Bergeron. I was like, I don't know what this word is. And she kept explaining what it was. And I was like, but I don't know what the word means. And she's like, listen, bud, like, the word is the trail. It took a long time for me to get
That's the name of, that's the name of the actual trail, right?
Oh yeah, it was like 14K of, it was really, really hard. And because it was the last 14K. So it's, you know, I was reduced to a walk, not by choice, but because of, I had, like, I couldn't run it. It was unrunnable at that point in the time. But so I think finishing running, like, and I ended up finishing the last 2 miles running because it was runnable terrain. Finishing running makes it so I'm having a good day. I mean, and then you just got to look around. Most of the races I go to are scenic. So you just got to remember to look around, and it's just running. Can't take it too serious anymore.
Yeah. And so like, that specific trail was something that like maybe surprised you. Like, how do you prepare for the unexpected? Like, do you usually look at course profiles before you go to them? I know like in trail running, they vary so much and they're so different.
So I sold my soul a long time ago, but if I could get a little piece of it back, I would have sold it again to get some insider info on that trail, because it was not like I was not mentally prepared. I ended up laughing though, because I was at the point where I was just tired, and I it was pretty neat because I crossed a river crossing in a boat. It was pretty nice, and the guy was aggressively paddling. I was like, dude, whoa, slow down. He's like, what? I was like, relax, man. I'm taking a break right here. Like, let's relax across this trail. And he's like, oh yeah, here's Meshtashibo Trail. I was like, all right, I'm ready. And then it was tough. Like, I heard it was tough. And then I always tell him, I've done some really unbelievably hard races in Europe and Finland and South America. So I feel like I'm not going to be surprised. And I was surprised again. So I was like, oh, man. But then that made me laugh. Like, it kind of, I got that mindset where it was like, holy smokes. Like, nope, I'm not running through this. I got to take my time. Like, my body's tired. So, yeah. I don't know how you would train for that. Like, I don't climb. Like I had to, like, boulder. Like, I crawled under a rock. It was absolutely ridiculous. Like,
holy cow, yeah.
The measures I had to go to get there. I highly suggest going, though. It's really pretty.
Yeah. Well, the scenery is, like, you can't deny that. I think Eastern Quebec is, like, very, very beautiful if you haven't been. I was telling you before we started that, you know, trails aren't really my thing, because I'm clumsy, but so I stub my toes a lot, and that's what I really don't enjoy. But I got asked to help a fellow runner, like a runner that I know, Anne Bouchard, you might know her actually, but she's a trail runner, and to do like a big crossing, like a run to Per Se. It's like a big trail.
Oh, I love it.
And like multi-day, right? It's like a multi-day thing. And she's like, yeah, I need help like on the first day. So like, can you run with me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, that sounds great. Like, I had to find my own accommodations and everything, but they're like, we'll pick you up in the morning. And, you know, it's like 50. I think they started telling me that it was going to be like, you know, 30K or something the first day. And I'm like, okay, cool, I can do that. And then like, as we got closer to the day, they're like, it's probably going to be like 50K, just so you know. I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. And I just train on the roads. You know, I don't train like, I train on Mount Royal, and that's like 150 meters high, you know, and that's in Montreal too. But finally, the day of it ended up being like 70K, you know, and the last 50, we didn't have any support at all. We had already ran 25 after getting like lost and stuff, and that was fine. I felt great, and they're like, "Okay, we got 50 more to go," but I didn't know we were like going into the bush and like, the terrain was going to be insane, and the vertical climbs were like it's unrunnable. Like you said, it's literally like you're climbing up rock and these steep climbs, steep descents, and like
man, you guys must do that in racing, and that's not easy at all, you know, but like, wow, was it ever humbling, you know?
So you put the urgency of like, there's a guy ahead of you or a guy behind you and it's crunch time and then you got to race. It's like, come on, man. So that trail, you must have gone through like the interior of the Peninsula. Like it was the Gaspé Peninsula, like Gaspésia, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like a known trail, and there's like an FKT for like, she has it now for women. And I know the guy, a guy that did it also, he's originally from France, but.
Oh, Matthew, right?
Mathieu Blanchard did it. Yeah, he did it as well. But man, that's a challenging thing to do by yourself, you know? And the crazy thing is like, we ended like in the dark, right? Yep. And the team was going to come into the bush to get us. And we finally got out and I was dead. And she had a snack and got back in there for like the rest of like to do another 20. And I was like, this person is just like so driven, you know? And like, that was the goal. So she did it and I went home and I was done, but, beautiful scenery, but extremely painful if you're not ready, you know, ready for that.
Yeah, that was story,
but I'm glad you got to experience some of that too.
Oh, I'm gonna be doing it this weekend up there. I'll be crossing part of that main. I forgot what it's
called. Oh yeah,
it's the Northern Appalachian Trail to us. Like, what's what we call it? Like, it's your Northern Appalachian Trail. It connects like a main trail down here, up and continues north into Canada. Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, So you can take it from the States to Canada. Is that
Georgia? Right? You can start in like southern United States, like just north of Florida, and go all the way through nonstop. Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty that's phenomenal. Nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, what would you say is the hardest race you've ever done? Like, you mentioned, like you've done some in South America, Europe, and stuff. What would you say is the toughest track?
I still want to say the toughest race from start to finish was in my home state of Vermont at Killington Mountain, a 50K, because they had you go up. It's only 4,000 feet of, you know, to the top, but they had you go up the mountain, I think, four times. And it's so violently steep up and down. And the competition level, I ran, like, you see my language again, balls to the wall the whole time. Because 50K mm-hmm. is a good difference distance for me to, like, go all out. Like, I think you can run hard the whole time. And that was tough because, like, you beat the hell out of your quads on the way down and you're grinding on the way up. Like, it felt like I was going to break my teeth. And from start to finish, that was the hardest race I've ever done. The Quebec Mega Trail, like, having that last hour be horrendous was probably one of the hardest finishes of a race I've ever been in. So that was tough. Overall, just the footing, because once you get tired and your stabilizers are smoked, I mean, you gotta start, like, I'm not a tap dancer, but I was like hopscotching and tap dancing all over those trails and rocks and things. it just made it so much harder being tired.
Well, you lose the focus, right? So
yeah, I was in such a good mindset though, so I was like, as tired as I was and frustrated as I was, I was just so happy to be there. I was just so happy to be out there. And my wife and daughter were going to wait for me at the finish line. And it was just, we stayed in that main hotel there. It was just beautiful. Like, we just had a beautiful weekend. We went to the Quebec City at nighttime. That's like my wife and I's favorite place on earth. And so we just were really fortunate. Like, so I was just filled with happiness when I started getting to like that danger zone place. I would bring myself back. I'd reel myself back in.
Do you have any you have any like mental tricks that bring you back into that space, like when things start to get a bit dark?
Yeah, and it's gonna sound weird. I start to challenge myself, and like, you know, some light name calling, and just start to really question myself. Like, I chose this, but then really, I probably say some things that probably are not okay for the public to myself. but I think. I do that because it's a strategy that's worked in the past. My father, my hero, the best coach I ever had, he challenged me in such an appropriate way developmentally at the age. So if I was 10 and maybe not playing my best, he would say, oh, look, that other kid, number 7 on the other team, he's really out. You're going to let him outwork you today? And he goes, I thought you were a harder worker. And he would ask me like little baiting questions. And as I get older, developmentally older, the comments would change. And so more, they'd be more real. Like, look at that kid. Like, that's a kid that's going to out hustle you today. Like stuff like that. My college coach kind of did the same thing. So I like that. That's like a little game. I like that little game of like, you bait yourself into being like, no, I'm not being my best right now. Mm-hmm. So that brings me back quite a bit. And then I think about really positive things in my life. And I don't want to disappoint those positive things and people and moments. So I make it a guilt trip myself, I guess. but it gets emotional. Like I'll bring myself down to an emotional basement and then knowing that I can work myself beyond that. Like, what's that saying? The universe will only give you what you can handle. And so I'm still on Earth, so I can handle a lot. So I was in those moments, I really challenge myself. And people think it's unhealthy, but they're not me. So I don't know how they can judge me. It might not work for them, but it works for me. But I'm going to bring myself down quite low. I'm a manic high. Like, I'm always on high. Like, I'm living one manic moment to the next. So when I feel normal, I don't like that feeling of normal. And I know, like, there's normal people out there. I'm a normal person. I know that. But, like, I don't like the feeling of normality when I can create a fairy tale or a fantasy world and I can live there. Like, leave me there. Which it is hard being in my brain when I am brought down to a level and I can't get out. Usually I'm not running when that happens. When I'm running, I'm free and I'm happy. But like in life, when you get down there, it's tough to get out of that hole sometimes.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I think this is something that like struck me about you in particular, is that like you do have this great energy and a great way about you. So like you said, how you get out of these funks and stuff, everyone's got their own ways to deal with stuff mentally, their own tricks and their own triggers that make them move forward. But like from a basis level, like you have this positive attitude, you're ambitious, you set these big goals. And I mean, that's, you know, you set the bar high. I mean, that's how you reach, what's the saying, like reach for the moon and you'll fall in the stars or something like that. Yeah. It's kind of that way a little bit, like swing for the fences and see what happens. You know, you'll never, you're willing to take a risk for a result, but it's not going to, you know, make or break you, you know? So that's kind of my takeaway from.
Yeah. I have a funny quote that people seem to enjoy, but I mean it, like no one has done more with less than me. Like, I don't know if you'll ever talk to anyone who's done more than I have with less. And that's like, you know, I run for Under Armour. Like they support me 100%. They send me all over the world. They're phenomenal. And my resume is decent, but I just care so much. And like in those moments of like when things aren't going well, I care so much. And it's hard to pin why I care, but I'm willing to convince myself that I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to outwork everybody in that race. They might have put more training in, but, and I said it in the other podcast too, because I've been living my life by this since I was like 9 years old. It's like, lock me in a room with anybody and we'll see who walks out. And that's my mentality. And I know there's a lot of people that could pound the piss out of me, but it hasn't happened yet. I'm not welcoming that opportunity. I don't want to get sucker punched, but I mean, I think that I'm going to put myself out there where I'm ready. Like I'm willing to do more because it means more to me. Like it's absolutely sacred. This opportunity to sit here where you right now is sacred. Like it's absolutely amazing because you could be, you know, there's so many people you could have talked to, but like you found your way to talk to me. I think I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. It means a lot. And so that's how I race too. Like, cause I don't know. I'm not trying to be like every day's your last. I was like, race every race like it's your second to last then. Cause race like you're going to race again. But it means so much for the opportunities I've been given. I'm just so grateful and so happy about it that in those dark times in races, like I don't have a choice. Of course I'm going to do awesome because I got so many positive things around me.
Yeah, it's a great way to be. That's awesome, man. That's we appreciate you coming on here and sharing your story with us. You know, it's everyone's got one, and everyone's got different, you know, mindset, or where they've come from, different places, but we can all find inspiration in something that somebody has to share. So would you take us maybe back to the beginning of like when you grew up, and like, were you like, I mean, you're an active guy, but like, you know, was it running always, or, you know, did something else get your attention first?
Yeah, it was always running, but just didn't know it. So I was like this anomaly. I ran at such an early age. Like, most kids aren't walking and crawling at that age, and I'm up on 2 feet running around. And so my parents used to laugh because they would like sing this like chanty song, and I would just run around like a puppy, like a dog. You know, a dog like gets the zoomies. Like, that was me. And so I was like wondering, like, did you ever worry about me? Like, I was okay. Like, I feel like my parents are like the most fun parents you could ever imagine. The most fun. I cannot remember a time when I was little, like, where laughter wasn't always in our house with my mom and my dad. And which is pretty neat. And so, like, going back to it, like, they signed me up for soccer at first, and I wasn't really sure about it. I remember I was 4 years old, but I just remember the idea of like running after something and chasing. I like the idea of running and chasing, just pretty neat. And then I called the soccer coach an asshole in high school, and then I had to run after cross country after that because, well, I couldn't play soccer anymore. I wasn't allowed to play. But yeah, we grew up just outside New York City. I grew up as a basketball player in my head. And once again, you're chasing, you're playing defense, you're attacking, you're defending. It was just a really great time. And like I said, my parents were awesome. My dad was a phenomenal coach who just really pushed me to want to be better for myself. Like, he never pushed me in a way where I was like, this is a lot of pressure. Nope. He put me in a position to be successful, and either I walked through that door or I didn't. And I keep walking through that door in my head. But then, yeah, and so came high school. I started running a little bit to get in shape for basketball, and it kind of just clicked. Things started clicking. I went to college to play basketball and run. But then in my first cross-country season, I ended up running incredibly well, much, much better than anyone anticipated or thought I was going to run. And I never made it to the basketball court, started doing indoor track, and just it really snowballed after that. It got out of control, like how much I got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a individualized sport, but also was a team. Like, the greatest thing I've ever done in my sports career has been on a team and been part of teams. So it was pretty neat. Like, I did really well on hilly courses and tougher weather, tougher courses. I always seemed to do well. I didn't have like bad days there. And it just fit that in 2004, my college coach, we had a little history of our college kids from the past making the US mountain teams. It was like, hey, you need to go to these races. And he sent me off to some mountain races, and I qualified for my first US team while I was a senior in college. So got to go to Italy. And once that bug of success and travel happened at the same time, it was a no-brainer. I want to come up and do like a road marathon up there in Quebec, but like the trail racing scene, I'm not trying to downplay the road races, but going to the bathroom, trying to find a porta potty, parking, it's kind of pain in the ass. But then trail racing is just phenomenal. It's show up your trail race. It's just a relaxed environment. It's as serious as you want to take it, especially if you go to the right races. The right races with the right guys, I mean, you're going to have some battles out there. Like any race, you know, 3-5% of it's really super competitive. And then you have a lot of people out there just trying to hit some personal goals.
Right.
Which is pretty awesome. And so, yeah, the running really got out of control. And then once companies started throwing money my way and asking me to wear their stuff, I was hooked. I mean, I was just, I love gear. I absolutely love gear. Got about 3,000 hats. Like, I'm just in. I'm just in. Yeah, I just loved it. It really got out of control, though, as far as like how into it I got and loved it. I just love it.
And where did you always have like a positive relationship to running? Like, I know, you know, sometimes it's difficult, like when you're doing it in school, you know, you're studying, you're, you know, but you, it sounds like you found some success. And I don't know, like, kind of a follow-up question to that, like, did you realize your potential before your coach did, or did they make you realize that?
I literally had no clue about my potential. My college coach was knowledgeable. He has a wall of All-Americans that's extensive. There's like 100 names on there, All-Americans. So I came in with no idea about running. And then I also was like, well, this guy clearly develops talent, so I'm not going to question one thing. I never questioned once. And recently, I just did Trans Rockies with my, you know, one of my best friends and teammates, Brian Tolbert, and he had a quote that was pot, like a relationship with running, and I want to steal. I want to take it on myself. It's like he said that he's always going to move quickly in the woods because it's fun. And that's my relationship with running. It's just always been fun. It's never not been. And even if it's not going great as far as like training wise, I know I'm always going to move in the woods, and I always want to find myself in the woods and being there. And so that was an important quote my friend said. But yeah, I've had some negative moments, like trying to hit times and splits. And I remember training for the Olympic trials, qualifying time. I was trying to hit a trials time of, at the time it was 2:22. And as you remember, February, it was raining and sleeting.
In which event? Sorry. To put that in context.
The marathon. Okay. 2:22 marathon at the time. This is back in 2000. I think it was 2008, before that, right before the standards changed in the States. We, you know, it was a February day. We're running an 18-mile tempo run. It's sleeting, it's raining, it's windy. That's the only day I can remember being like, I don't know if this is worth it. Like, this is miserable. I know it's like 2 hours of my life, but it was so miserable. It was terrible. This winter was the second winter that I can remember that was tough. This was a hard winter. As far, because it just seemed like it was just wet and windy all the time. But I still love running. It was just Mother Nature was mad at me for some reason. I don't know why. I love her, but she was so pissed at me. But yeah, I've always had a really positive relationship with running and sports in general. Like, yeah, that's a great question, because now you got my brain going where, like, I love basketball. I've never had a negative relationship with basketball, which is my second love. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a negative, because it's a time I can move and my brain can settle. So it's always a relaxing, enjoyable part of my day. Like, it's the best when you can move, especially with loved ones. Like, if you can do it with somebody love and share that time with them, it's a lot of fun.
And the standard did change. I mean, it was 2:22 at that time, but maybe it's 2:18 right now.
Yeah.
Or 2:19.
And that ship sailed a long time.
why did you let go of that Olympic trial dream? Because I know it's something that a lot of runners strive for. I mean, several runners that I've had on the show, you know, I've had Olympians, but I've also had athletes who have strived for that standard, just to make it to the trials.
Just to make it to the trials wasn't enough for me. And that sounds really arrogant, but it wasn't enough for me. Like, I see these people just making it to the trials to go run, you know, a road race in Houston, Texas, where I made a U.S. team. They flew me to Italy, and I'm in the Alps. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is different. Like, I'll trade a road race for a remote Italian Alps town any day. It was just came down to a preference. I just remember the race we were going to go to got snowed out, or our flights got canceled. Something happened with weather. And it's like, that was my window. Like, all that training to have a race canceled, like a big race. Like, it just, that was a buzzkill. And I still ran. I still had fun. But it was one of those things where, like, you got me processing at the same time. So I apologize. It's like, man, like, all that work, 90 days. Like, we put like a 90-day block together. And realistically, I wasn't going to run 2:22. I was going to go out to run 2:20, get to probably 18 miles, and then have a really rough last 8 miles for my first marathon, because I didn't know how to race a marathon at that time. I was a 10K runner. Like, I would have hit splits. I would have been hot. I would have got that credit card, built that debt of like early credit card success, and had to pay for it the last 3 miles. Yeah. So it was almost like a blessing I didn't do it. But yeah, I don't have that. I had so many other doors open for the outdoors and and where I really find beauty, then I was okay. Like I don't have any regrets at all. Mm-hmm. Nope. I mean, I could go out tomorrow and run a marathon. I know that sounds really
low, yeah,
but like I could just go out tomorrow and run a marathon. I'm fine with that. Cause my training for the mountains puts me in a really good position to run 26 miles. I might not run a PR, but I can still.
You got the fitness to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Which is a gift in itself, right? It's having the fitness to be able to do the things you want to do. So, but I get that. Yeah, I do get that. Like road racing and trail running is way different, and, you know, different reasons, and we connect with things differently. Do you remember the moment when you discovered trail running? Cause like, and I think it's good too, that you came from a speed background. I always find that runners that come from that track background always have this like speed built in, and then they can tackle just about any distance. So yeah, I'm just curious when you discovered the trails, or has that always been something that you've done?
I haven't been asked that question. So like thinking about it on the fly, well, I never take reflective time, by the way, just like, I don't do that. Like, so when you ask me a question, I'm not going to be like, let me think about it. Nope. I'm going to shoot from the hip. my knee jerk reaction to that would be, I had a friend, Elijah Barrett, who had a best friend, Greg Hammett. And I started working for Elijah, and he started doing some like local, like our new, like Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New England area has a really great, it's called the Grand Tree. They have about 30 trail races. And so they kind of branched out to do some trail running. And we have a really big state park really close by where we run, you know, a lot of trail runs. We always ran trails in college, but these two guys, Elijah Barrett and Greg Hammett, really did a lot of trail running. And I was young. And then like making that first US team for mountain running, it kind of just opened the door to like, hey, you should check out this race. And then the combination of like those guys going to races at first and me becoming friends with them, and then my own success through the U.S. mountain team, because I was able to do some really cool races like Loon, Mount Washington, some really, really, really iconic, neat races. So it kind of just naturally drew me there. I always loved cross country more than track. Like I wasn't a track-minded guy. I love cross country. So I was always naturally just in the woods with where I wanted to race.
Right. That's cool. Yeah. And it gets to, and now you get to see like all different kinds of places and different scenery. I mean, trail running allows you to see some pretty amazing, beautiful landscapes. You know, I was in Switzerland recently, and it's just like,
oh, it's awesome.
Breathtaking. Yeah. You don't really quite get that when you're running through a major city around where I live. And there's some hidden gems for sure, but it's more pavement than the trails. You kind of got to get outside the city to see those things, you know, but I can see where the allure is for that.
Where in Switzerland did you go?
I went a bit everywhere, but I did go to St. Moritz, Silva Plana area, and ran around there quite a bit, which was really, really nice, and did a long run out there. But, you know, I ran a bit in Zurich. I ran a bit in a place called Vuilly also. That's more like, you know, wine country and mm-hmm. like, you know, cows. You run by cows and stuff, and there's a like nice lake and... So yeah, I got to do that a little bit. I look forward to going back, and I'll be in Berlin in September too. So,
oh, cool.
To do the marathon. Yeah, marathon there. So yeah, but I do like dabble in the trails, like for training, just for cross training and stuff like that, like more for fun, you know? So
I got to do a race. A race in Switzerland, and it was one of those things where I don't see how you can go to a place like that and not get curious about where does this footpath go? Because it's just phenomenal. I think it's a lot of curiosity in me that makes me want to, excuse me, like go check those things out. So like, yeah, Switzerland's a fairy tale place in my head. When I went there, mm-hmm. it was phenomenal.
That's sure. Cool. Where do you want to go next? Like, where's your running taking you? Like, any new locations that you're or races that you want to scope out?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to get back to Europe. That was really cool. But also, there's some neat, Iceland looks, it's really close. I want to, like, it's only like a 3-hour plane ride from Boston. So I want to do that. There's a couple other races in the U.S. I would check out. I really am on to the next race I want to do is, I'm going to come back to Quebec and hit those Chick Chocks. That's what I'm most really excited about that. But overall, a Europe trip again to Switzerland would be really neat. But I also wouldn't mind checking out somewhere I haven't been, like Chamonix. I haven't been to Chamonix, France. But also like the Grand Tetons in Wyoming for a U.S. race. That sounds pretty cool to me. I'm easily entertained. Like, I'm down for whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, give me good scenery. I'll go anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is.
For sure. Yeah. I'll actually be going to Chamonix, in September too, before Berlin. So I'll be heading back there and, I can't wait to check that out.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Do you think that you want to get, like, I know you do more like 50, 80K. Do you think you ever want to get up to like that, to the UTMBs, to the Western States of the world? Like, is that somewhere you want to go, or do you prefer like the speedy trails, like you've been saying, like the 50K where you can kind of go all out?
Yeah, like I call them stupid ideas, because it's funny, like I could run 100 miles. Like, I say that every single time that, like, I'll run with a buddy of mine, Brett, and we're running a 7-mile run. After 4 miles, like, I could run 100 miles easily. I have that on my list. I talked about it with my wife recently. It's like, I want to toe the line at one of those 100-mile events and just be part of that environment, the community, and the energy, and see what happens. I don't have a lot of, how do you say it? I don't have a lot of knowledge of other than what I can see. Like, I don't have any experience or knowledge of that stuff. But I think a place I would definitely, I'm definitely going to sign up for a 100-miler within the next year from now, and see what happens, just to be a part of it, see how it goes. I got some being with Under Armour and some other companies. Like, I got some friends in high places that have some abilities to get me in. I know that might get some people riled up, like, as far as like, well, I have to go to a lottery. And I get it. I understand. I'm also working my tail off, and it's unfortunate. I know some really awesome people that can help me out. But yeah, I think I'm going to do a couple more 50s, I think, and then I'm going to bump up to the 100-miler. I have a project I want to do this winter. We have the Northeast Kingdom in Vermont, and I kind of want to circumnavigate the Northeast Kingdom and figure out how to do that, whether it's on roads or trails. But it's going to be about a 65 to 75 mile loop that I'm trying to put together. So see how that goes. There's some stores on the way. At least I can get something to eat. So
would that be like a solo adventure, or would you do that as like with a teammate too?
I'm going to invite anybody and everybody who would like to come out and suffer. But hopefully we don't suffer. Like, hopefully we just put, I think it's going to be more around the 100 and 110K distance. So, you know, get through 50K and, you know, take our time and just put one foot in front of the other just to map it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that some longer distances are on the horizon, just because it's more about just being out in the environment and just being outside and moving while I'm doing it. So I do think I want to go to a 100-miler that's not known for being fast, because I do need that, like, climbing, the vert, the downhill, the trail part. I need that, because I think that's where I'll be successful. Like a flat 100-miler, I think it's gonna, that would definitely, I wouldn't make it to 55 miles. That would beat me up, because I would just run efficiency. I'd probably run too fast and screw it up somehow.
Yeah, it's tempting to just run fast, right? Because you don't know when you're gonna get the chance to do that. I know, like, that's what I get excited about when I was when I've, well, the limited trail running I've done, like you see a flat zone and you're like, okay, I got to take advantage of this speed because I don't know when I'm going to get it again, you know? So just kind of go all out on those sections. But can you talk about...
Oh, go ahead. I was like, you're looking at it just like a trail runner. That's how trail runners think, man. We see a runnable, we see like, where's our strength? My strength is I'm fast. Yeah. I see a fast section, I got to run fast and take advantage of it.
Yeah. I'm not a climber. I suck at descending, you know, but I don't practice those things anyways, you know? So I run some elevation, but it's not my main, you know, my main focus, my main go-to, you know? So,
yeah.
Can you talk about your, it's most recent, but the Trans Rockies, I've seen runners do this over the years and it looks awesome, you know, and we talk about like community and running and you see so many people out there and you do it in a team. And I've understood that it's like just a great place to meet like-minded people and the vibe's just amazing. Can you talk about that?
Everything you said from the outside onlooker is accurate. It is a vibe. It is awesome. It is a great place to meet people. So I did that in 2019 and I was fortunate enough to have the fastest time I won. And then I came back 2021, which was the next year they had it, with my partner, Brian Tolbert, and we won the team stage race of 6 days. And there's a 3-day stage race and a 6-day stage race. It is phenomenal. It's put on by a guy, Kevin Huda McDonald. He's a Canadian dude from the BC area. Really neat character, the race director. He is unbelievable. He's lovable. Everything about him. He wears that red and black lumberjack print flannel every day. He's tremendous. Tremendous. And his tremendous energy brings in other volunteers and support staff. That's also tremendous. So it's like a week. It's phenomenal. It's a big task, 120 miles over 6 days. And for some reason, like something happened this year. Like I was getting catcalled Mr. Trans Rockies. I've only been two other times, but Huda, the race director, I've been known to talk a little shit here and there. He made a hashtag, said keep Ference off the podium 22.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was hilarious. That made me laugh. Like, I was kind of like in the eyes of Trans Rockies, they've had some legendary runners go there. I'm kind of like a nobody. But all of a sudden, I'm the poster boy for their calendar, the all-male calendar that we're going to put out. And it's kind of funny. But it is a great community because they have something from the Dawn Patrol, which is the people that start early so they don't miss the cutoff and have some time back at camp. They have a like little village set up every day. And the village is set up before you get there, from where you start to finish, and you travel from one location to the next. And it's just phenomenal. The environment's great. It is great. It gets weird sometimes because you get like a whole bunch of like-minded ultra runners who are a little bit off anyways. Like there's something abnormal about ultra running, and then you put them all collectively together. It's a lot of fun. And he's got another race going on right now called Trans-Selkirk, and he's got another one going on. He's neat. Got one in Moab. He wants me to come to. But like the people you meet there are phenomenal. It's almost like a Dr. Seuss book. It's like, oh, the people you meet. And like I met Rob Krar. Like he's a Canadian legend. Like, so I got to meet him last week and his teammate Buck Blankenship. And they were cool. They were just neat. And just so many cool people, so many phenomenal people. Like everyone's there just literally to have a good time. Like we want to have fun. So you have people all over the place. Everyone's encouraging everybody. And Brian and I are together. We make a pretty unique character set and we have a lot of fun laughing and running, like, and running hard and running fast and running far. And we're able to, I would highly suggest anybody to do something like that, to go there, especially if you love running. I mean, everything, it's just tremendous.
Yeah, like the way you are, like you have fun. Clearly, you're competitive. I know that. Like, do you feel like the smack talk and all that's welcome in running, or do you feel like it rubs people the wrong way? Like, what's your like? I know you probably don't care, but you know, like I think it's great. I think it's healthy. I think it's fun. You know, I mean, we do it in other sports too. But you know, sometimes, like you said, like runners in general can be quirky people, you know, and I can see maybe it doesn't, you know, people don't like that, you know, but I don't know what your view on that is.
Yeah, they don't like it because they're not as fast as me, so they can't handle it. That's why. I'm just
kidding. There you go. Insert smack talk.
I'm known for this. I just can't turn it off. I can't, like you said that the first thing that came to my head when you said like some people don't like it is like, well, they're not fast. That's why they're cranky. They don't like me. Yeah. The hell with them. And I'm really playful with my smack talk. Like none of it's just a big game. It's just kind of fun. I'm coming from a basketball background. Like, so like that's not an excuse. When I first came to trail running, it was so inclusive and so elitist in their mindset in the States anyways. It was terrible. Like, oh, this person traveled to Europe and they raced in Europe. Oh, like, I don't give a shit. You got to beat me today, dude. Like, I'm 24 years old. I got a big mouth and a lot of speed. I ran 30 minutes for 10K. Come on, man. Relatively, that's kind of fast for trail running. And it's kind of like the smack talk now is just really playful. It was serious at one time. I'm dead serious. But it's like anything, any sport, like, anybody who has a sport, whether you're cheering for like soccer, football, basketball, like you're going to root for your team, which essentially means you're not rooting for the other team. Like you might not be actively being like, oh, boo, you know, them, yeah. But you're not giving love. Like, so I get it. So it's natural. And I sound, as a school teacher, this sounds terrible, but like bullying is a natural phenomenon that happens. Does it need to happen to the extent it does with humans? No, we know better at a certain point, but kids don't. Kids don't know any better at one time. They're going to say stuff like, and it's just about curbing that. And like, okay, where's this going? In nature, we have this all the time. Like you have things that you associate with and things you don't. And people that want to associate with me are usually like-minded, fun-loving. I'm known for being hateable. Like I say some hate, what makes Ferris run so fast? He runs on hate. That's like the big joke. If anyone's wondering, yeah, hate only lasts 30 miles. So you got to figure it out. In a 50K.
I also know that you give credit too. Yeah. Like you're also very like you respect the competition too, which like, you know, you might not finish like where you want to finish or whatever, but like that you respect the competition enough and you'll go up and shake somebody's hand after the race. You know what I mean? Like it's healthy, I think, in a sense too, right? So
I haven't had an unhealthy relationship.
Like you want to win.
Yeah. I haven't had an unhealthy relationship with a worthy adversary in a very long time. Mostly because none of them are left. I broke them all. No, okay. Sorry. Can't turn it off. No, but college, we had rivals where I was able to reconnect with a couple rivals, former rivals, and we've been able to like talk. And like when in college I got some nice compliments, like we were looked at as where other teams wanted to be. We were the pinnacle of where other teams wanted to be, and that was a nice compliment. But when you're in college, like it's, you know, kill or be killed. That the and that mentality carried over for a long time, because I'm working really hard to get something. And if there's somebody else up there with me, they're trying to take that away from me. And in that moment, in my younger days, I hated them because I wanted that more than they did. And I needed to have that more than they did because it meant more to me than it did to them. That's what I tell myself. But as I'm kind of more playful now, I'll still sling it with the best of them. Like, I don't know. Nobody can get into a shit talk competition with me. They're going to lose. And a lot of it's just really playful. Some people don't like it though. They don't like the playful. They think it's ridiculous.
The banter.
Yeah, they don't. But also I haven't met a person who has said that also comes off as a happy person in their life. Mm-hmm. Like they're just not happy people. They got so many other disruptive things. Like, so if you can't giggle and laugh with me, then sorry, that's your problem. That's not mine. And God forbid I find out that you don't like it, because then I'm going to do it 10 times more because I can't help it. I'm like a cartoon character. like Woody Woodpecker, the ultimate antagonist. I'm just gonna nonstop.
Yeah, you got a good energy about you, that's for sure. So, this is something. You're not like you have a personality. I'd say, you know what I mean? It's like not all runners, you know, like you see that with just athletes in general. I'd say like if I like hockey, for example, like those big personalities are few and far between, you know, in sport, you know, because they get up there, they answer the questions of the interviews, and you know, they answer it a certain way. They all answer it a certain way. And that's, I think, something that is important, I think, to get to know these runners. And also that's why I like this podcast. I get to know runners of all different levels, and I get to know them on a different level, you know, rather than just this is the time that I'm racing or running at. It's because there's more behind every person than just the running, you know. So
I mean, like,
what do your students say?
I was like, these people go to interviews. I'm sorry, but and they're the most boring humans on earth. Their life must suck. Okay, you're really good at running, but geez, you're like a saltine without no salt on it. Like, how are you a cracker with no? Oh, they're so boring. I'm my own superhero. I root for myself and I get excited, and the people who love me support me. But man, you see some, I don't know what the big issue is, like going to a race and saying that I'm coming here to win. Like, and people, oh, he's cocky. Why is that so frowned upon on some people? Like, no, like there's $1,000 to win. Of course I'm coming here to win. Like, why would I not?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why people get upset when, oh, I had a good day today, it was fun. Like, you can still be celebratory. Like I said, I met Rob Carr and I talked so much shit. I talked so much shit. I was like, Rob Carr's here. I don't care. He's still got to race me, fooling around, not knowing. I have a poster of Rob Carr in my classroom because of how awesome and humble and just a human he is. Like, he's just a great runner. I've never met him, but like, I was fooling around. Like, you better bring God to beat me. Like, just making it a big, like, ham joke. Some people thought I was serious. But I got to meet Rob Carr. It was awesome. He came over. He's like, I heard you said something about me. I was like, yeah, I said a couple things. Like, we just fooled around. Like, it was,
yeah.
It was really awesome. It was really exciting. I didn't think Rob Carr was actually going to show up, though. Jeez.
What was it like for you to meet, like, somebody that you really look up to in the sport?
It was unique because he's so reserved and so chill. And I'm, like, out there. He's wild and... You know, probably maybe I was a little more reserved, I'd be faster, but I don't know, but like, it wouldn't be as fun. But it was so neat because he was getting, like, he walked through and it was like Brad Pitt was there. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, everyone was like, oh my God, I don't know why I went to Brad Pitt like that, because they both had mohawks like in Fight Club. I think that's where I went to. Yeah. But like, Rob's got to get, Rob's such a quiet, humble guy. I wondered if it was a lot for him because like everybody, there's like 500 people racing, everybody wanted to get a picture of Rob Carr. Everybody wanted to talk to him. I mean, he's Rob Carr. And so it's kind of funny. And like, all of a sudden I'm running next to him and I got to share miles and moments with him, and just having him next to me. I didn't talk to him. I didn't want to bother him. I know when to turn it on and turn it off. And I just turned it off and I was just in his presence. And I took the opportunity just to be in the moment of just, I'm sharing time and miles with a guy whose career I followed and really and just love what he does. And it was really neat. So it was fun to watch him. And finally, when it got to the point where he said something to me and I was like, okay, yeah, now I got him to talk to him. So, and then I was like, I got to get a picture with you, man. Mm-hmm. He's like, of course. And then we talked on social media a little bit, and it was a little gestures of just his presence was just neat, just really neat. But then again, like at Trans Rockies, people were like, they wanted him to be something he wasn't, just like talk and come, you know, shake hands and talk and walk around and be really like excited. And that's just not his thing. It's my thing. So, that was kind of fun. That was really fun meeting him. But that was neat.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool when you can, meet somebody that you look up to in the sport, and you know, it's you're kind of starstruck, I guess, is what you're describing. And he's a legend in the sport too, so that's kind of cool. Like, what do your kids say in your class? Like, because you're all through all this, like you're still a school teacher and you train through all that, and you have a family and stuff. So what do the kids say at school? Like, are they also running, or are you inspiring some of them?
So what you just did, I was just pretending to be like a real professional runner, and then you brought me back down to earth by reminding me I'm a teacher. Oh, it's terrible.
Well, we like to know what, you know, what, like, a lot, because the thing is, it's hard to be a professional. I mean, that, I think that maybe that's something that people don't realize. Like, it's very hard to make a living in running, you know.
Oh, it's far and few between. Like, it's ridiculous. It's unfortunate that my hobby gets in the way of my wanted profession. My hobby, I wish my hobby was teaching and my profession was running, but like, it's opposite. I want to say it's hard, but it's not hard at the same time once you find out how to do it. My students, when I coached track and cross country at one time from the middle school, like I had 65 kids on my track team in a school of 200. So I'm always recruiting. And kids get excited because I coach with the same way that I kind of, my personality is. I'm just get excited. I get jacked up for kids. Like, let's go. My college coach was known for being very selective, but he wasn't. And I took this from him. He gave kids attention that earned it. So I showed up. You give me 100%, I'll give you 100%. Now, I know these are children, but like, I think that's with any relationship, which is like at Trans Rockies again. People were excited to see Rob Carr, but they kind of got really excited to see me too, because I was excited to see them. Like, I asked them about their day. Like, I asked them about how their race went, because I genuinely cared. And I think my students see that. Like, they see me get excited for their success and their effort. And it's all about effort, really. Like, did you give your best effort? Yep. Then I'm all in. Like, I'm all in. Like, so I had a little girl on my high school cross country team who gave her best effort, but never finished in the last 10. She always was one of the last 10 runners of every single race. But that was her best effort, and I was really proud of her for that. She gave me everything she had every day, and she gave everything to her teammates. I coached a lot of selfless kids this year, a lot of selfless kids. So I was trying to get my kids running. It's usually around October 15th, they hit the Google. They Google Mr. Ferentz on the internet. And they see a lot of short shorts and topless photos. I just learned a new thing. Tarps off. I'm tarps off, what I'm told.
Tarps off.
Yeah, no shirt.
Yeah, tops off Tuesday is what they call it in Scotland.
The neat thing is, like, everyone knows Steph Curry. Everybody knows Steph Curry. Everybody knows Steph Curry's Under Armour. Everybody. I don't own a lot of clothes that don't have that UA logo on it. And so when I get to school, I get a lot of Steph Curry questions. Now, between
us. Have you met Steph? You guys hang out?
But the funny thing was, I worked with the same, like, there's a kinesiologist at Under Armour. I worked with the same kinesiologist. And of course, I'm talking shit. I was like, you've never worked with an athlete of this caliber before, have you? Like, fooling around. And so... And like, the person didn't know I was joking at first. They're like, well, Steph Curry was here 2 days ago. I was like, yeah, how's this range of motion for my ankles? And they're like, actually, it's better than Steph Curry's. So I go back to my students. I was like, oh, yeah, we had the same doctor in Portland, Oregon. Like, I just make little segues and fool around a little bit. Don't let anyone who tells you teaching is not a popularity contest clearly is A, an unpopular teacher, and B, they don't know what they're talking about. It's completely a popularity contest, because if you're popular, the kids would want to learn. And being popular doesn't mean you're a good educator, but it is a popularity contest at some point during the teacher to student relationships. Yeah, but the kids get really excited because I come in with some fresh gear. I come in with some new kicks here and there, and they get excited.
As a teacher, what would you say is like the biggest lesson or the biggest thing you can teach somebody who wanting to take on a new challenge or a new distance or getting into running?
My recent girl who's off to college, very sad, she bought into this. It's just show up. Be present. Just put yourself in a position to be there. And then take an inventory, look at it. And if it's something you want to put your, you know, front foot forward and be a part of, do it. But make sure you're there. Show up and be present for the opportunity. And then how you handle the opportunity and how you want to approach it and what you want it to look like for yourself is on you now. That's like track's a great one. Cause you have kids come out there and, oh, they're naturally a miler, but they want to run the 100. Okay. Let's figure it out until, you know, you can get the kids some success. And when kids are successful, and success comes in like the emotions they get back. So like my emotions I get back, give back to kids, I think helps them feel successful. They might finish 10th in the mile, but wow, you ran a phenomenal race. And just be really genuine with the energy you're giving to them. They can buy into that and that can really help them. But mostly just really show up and be present. That goes for anybody. Just keep showing up. Like just keep being there. And then cool things can happen. And if not, move on to something else.
For sure. No, that's great advice. And, you know, you hear so many, I've interviewed quite a few people, but sometimes you hear stories of like college and they're like, I really wanted to run this and my coach didn't let me, or, you know, like, I think that's such a shame, you know, cause you know, why not try a different distance? You know, I know like maybe coach knows best or they see, you know, you're built for a certain distance, but if you don't try something else, how are you ever going to know, right, for yourself? So I think it's cool that you allow that, you know?
Yeah, I do think, like, it's kind of funny. Like, there's a fine line. If you go off to college, you're hand-selected. Like, our coach was, like, hand-selecting kids and recruiting. I think it is a little different. Like, hey, I want to try this. Like, and my coach was great. He's like, okay, you can try it. He knew where our success was, so he knew we might come running right back to, like, where we were going to be the most successful. He's like, well, you're training for this, but you can try that. I was blind faith though, blind faith, loyal to whatever my coach said I did. Cause it worked. It never didn't work. So That was a really, I had 4 years of working success. Little kids are great. Cause like, I hate to be like, who cares? Like they're little kids. Who cares? Let them try this. Let them try that. Cause it's about getting them to show up tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You can kill a kid's ambition the first day. And then, but why? It's a lifelong activity, a lifelong opportunity. And why have them hate it? It's not like stacking wood. It's fun. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good to instill that from a young age too. So that's great. What would you say running has taught you?
It's taught me a lot about myself as far as I can kind of slow my brain down a little bit. It's hard being in this body sometimes. There's a lot of energy in here, man. I told you I vibrate. There's a lot going on. And that can be uncomfortable at times. So running has made it comfortable. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. I never have. And I know people do that so they can feel comfortable in their body. Running has allowed me to feel comfortable in my body, in my mind, and has brought a lot of happiness. So I've learned that no matter what, at the end of the day, running is going to be a very positive place for me where I can slow things down figuratively and literally. I can just, you know, go out for a little bit, be in an environment and just relax. It's the only time I can meditate is when I run. And I know that sounds ridiculous. What do you meditate? Well, isn't meditating just like really deep thinking about things that are important that can relax you? And sure. Okay. Yeah. And then I do that. Running has taught me that you can have a lot of fun. You can have a lot of fun and really be really physically fit and healthy. I mean, I weigh the same and look the same as I did when I was 20. Mm-hmm. So I think running is a little bit of a preserver. Father Time might have forgot about me.
I say the same thing. Yeah, it's kept me in good shape, good health. And like you don't realize it necessarily, but like, yeah, going out to run for, you know, 30 minutes or an hour, if there's something on my mind, I'm thinking about that thing and working through a problem, or so I can relate to you that way. And I think, yeah, it's a way to do that without actually, you know, thinking about it. You know, it's just like a natural healer, if you will, you know, and like lets you get some energy out and lets you, you know, because you're like, you're such high energy, right? So it kind of levels you out a bit, right? So you can come back to the classroom or come back to your family.
I said earlier, like it just allowed me to be a better version of myself so I could be a better person to others. And clearly, like selfishly, yeah. You're not like running selfish. Like I'm taking the time away from my family and some other things like that. But if I don't do that, I'm not a good person to myself. And if I'm not good to myself, I'm not going to be good to others. So there's like, yeah. Gotta find out that balance.
For sure. What would you say running means to you?
It means everything. Like, I don't want to be defined as like a mountain runner or a trail runner. I don't like the definitions of labels and stuff like that, but it's an opportunity. It means everything because it's allowed me to have amazing opportunities and it gives me a break. It's almost like it's not real. Like when I'm running, it's not real life. It's this alternate phenomenon that is tremendous. It just, it really means everything. And I don't want to be defined by running, even though I probably am. And I'm okay with someone else, but I'm a runner. Like it doesn't define me. It just enhances me. It's an enhancer to everything I do. And it's pretty phenomenal. That's a tough question though, man.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I ask all my guests and, yeah, it means something different to everybody, right? But the common thread is that, you know, it's a part of your life. It helps you in your everyday life. It helps you to, you know, get out of your comfort zone and, show up better for other people. And yeah, I think that's great. It's a great answer to that question. Josh, where can people find out more about you?
Well, I am on Instagram and I have recently, like, not to bring up Trans Rockies again, but you meet so many cool people that you stay in contact with. It's been pretty phenomenal. You can find me anywhere in Vermont because I took ownership of the state a long time ago. Some people get upset about that. Mine now. but yeah, like I am a text away. I love meeting people. I love getting excited. I love hearing. Like probably one of the most, I had a comment once, some woman overheard this comment once of like, you know, you're 100 times stronger than you think you are and overcoming adversity. I get a text message like 6 or 8 months later from a stranger that said they overheard me talking at this race. I said this comment and they applied it to their marathon training. Thank you for that little tidbit. And it was like, whoa, that's intense. Tense, like that wasn't ready. That's a huge compliment. So like the people you meet, it's really neat. I would love to just continue meeting people like that are having that are excited about running and having fun. And also any race directors who want to like fly me in anywhere.
Yeah, why not? Free trip is always a good thing, right? So
please find me.
Yeah.
I got one to Finland by talking like that. It was tremendous.
Oh. Wow, yeah. Do you find it challenging because you're a teacher to get away, or like are they pretty understanding about that?
I try to just pack it all in the summer.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
I'm going to Moab in March, so we're going to find out how school is going to handle that. Schools right now in the States are a plane that's upside down and burning with a bunch of people trying to put it back together again with wood. That's education in the States right now.
Okay.
It's really not an easy time being an educator. Vermont's really progressive, but it's really, really hard. And thank goodness for all things running where I'm able to get a break from the school day. School's tough. So, and I just personally don't feel, I feel valued by the parents of the kids I teach, but systemically in our building, in our district, I don't feel that there's governmental, as a government, I don't feel like we are valuing teachers. I don't feel that our organization where I teach, our school district, the higher ups, I don't feel there's value right now. So that's been such a negative stain for such a positive person. So that's kind of a bummer. But so when you ask that question, part of me's like, I don't give a shit. I'm going. So that's why. So, but I think it's what an opportunity to teach kids. I'm 40. Mm-hmm. I'm out there living a professional runner lifestyle mindset. Like, reach for your goals, man. Like, what a teachable moment for kids to never give up. Never, ever give up. Like, don't ever put your dreams on hold. Like,
do it when you can, right? Like, you got to take advantage of things when you can. Like, you might not be able to do this forever, and anything can change too. Like, don't want to be put things in a negative light, but it's true. You kind of have to be grateful for every day, every opportunity you have. It sounds like you are. And you're sharing that energy with the kids that you're teaching. And I think that's great for the future generations and your own kids. And, you know, it's great.
I was like, you know, anyone who needs to pick me up. I was told I'll pep talk anybody. And get them hyped up for themselves, which is exciting to do because as I'm talking to somebody else, pepping them up, I'm using those words from back to me. Cause I can't say it and not do it.
Totally. Well, Josh, thanks, man. It was great catching up with you, man. And, I love all the stuff you're doing. I love the energy that you bring and you bring to the racing and trail community. And keep doing what you're doing, man. I think it's awesome. I can't wait to see what you're up to next. And again, thanks for taking the time today.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you can find me coming to Quebec a couple more times soon. And I'll go to the mailbox every day, man, looking for that Mount Royal invite. Let me know.
Yeah, if you're ever in Montreal, definitely drop me a line. That's the easiest, and we'll take you in those trails. They're not super steep or anything, but they can still be quite challenging. So, let me know.
First time running in Montreal, I got to take it easy on me. I'm down.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Take care, Josh.
Hey, man, thank you very much for your time today. It was great. Hope people enjoy it, or hope you hate it and then you come back and go.
There you go. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. I've been running for a while now, 12 years in fact. It's funny to look back on how I got started and how different things are for me now. I made a lot of mistakes, simply because I didn't know any better. I ran hard every time I went out. I ran longer and fewer days to increase volume. I wasn't recovering as well as I should have, and I didn't prepare long enough for distances I was taking on. What I wish I did from the start was get a coach to help guide me through and teach me the right way. Sound familiar? Well, I learned a lot from those early mistakes, and now I want to help you. Over the last year, I've gradually entered into the world of coaching, helping athletes of all levels reach their goals. It's virtual, interactive, one-on-one training that will help you focus on running so that you can hit your next target. Just shoot me a message at jpugs84 on Instagram with any questions you may have, and we'll take things from there. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to leave your reviews for us on Apple Podcasts or message us directly on Instagram with your comments, feedback, and suggestions for future guests. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a WRG production, produced by Leslie Woods and Forrest McKay. All the amazing graphics you see on social media are created by Ryan Bondi, and the show is hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.